Al Horford, 2 for 2 and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Very quiet here at the Fieldhouse. Collison misses a three. Rebound belongs to Jaylen Brown, and the seconds will tick away. The Boston Celtics struggled all year trying to string together three wins over an 82-game season. But in the postseason, they have been reborn, and they come out of the gates and take a 3-0 series lead over the Indiana Pacers. The final score, Boston 104, Indiana 96.
On the road, we weren't great last year, and we've talked about that a lot. We weren't great in game threes, but we were ready to play. This, you know, they were also ready, and we made a bunch of shots and felt better about ourselves than we were probably playing in the first quarter. And then, you know, they came back and took the lead. The crowd was awesome, as you would expect. And, you know, that at that point in time, you just hit singles until the end. And that's what we tried to do.
Feels good. I'm looking forward to the next one. You got to keep doing it. We didn't get as many road wins as we wanted last year. And that was like a big key thing last year for us. So it feels good to get our first one to start this playoffs off in 2019.
And that's Jaylen Brown and head coach Brad Stevens after last night's Celtics win over the Pacers, 104-96 in game three of this playoff series, first round playoff series for the Celtics and the Pacers.
No asterisk,
Joe. Okay, I just
exhibition playoffs.
Want to be consistent here. I can't take it all that seriously, and it's more because of the Pacers without Victor Oladipo than anything else. They play decent enough team basketball, and that's the reason that they're there. They're very much reminiscent of the Celtics teams with Brad Stevens when he first got here, and the Isaiah Thomas like max effort night in, night out, and that's nice, but that can only take you so far, and I think that's what you've seen so far in these first three games. There's times where they've actually been dominant, like, you know, the third quarter of the game in game two. It's like, oh, okay, you got something here. Even last night was pretty competitive. But did you ever really sweat that? Like, come on. Like, the Celtics just have too much talent. Even when they get real sloppy, they're too good. The Pacers stink. I think we would learn, for me, we'd learn more about, you know, the intestinal fortitude of the Celtics, and we'd see more maybe of the cracks that you saw throughout the regular season if they were playing a team that gave them problems throughout the regular season, like an Orlando or even Brooklyn in this first round. So to me, the playoffs really start in round two when they take on Milwaukee. But for now, good tune-ups. And I think we can learn some things from what we've seen, especially last night. Jaylen Brown shines both offensively and defensively. And Jason Tatum, to me, maybe more than anybody else, and I don't know, you feel, Joe, in watching these first three games, Jason Tatum's probably been the best player in this series so far.
Yeah, Tatum had a hell of a pass in that game two comeback when they were down. Last night hit some big shots. Had that thunderous dunk in the last game as well. He's been outstanding, and I do feel like he's been set up a lot by Kyrie Irving. It's kind of like they're playing a two-man game a little bit. They're always looking at Horford inside. But, yeah, he's hitting shots from the outside. He had a couple of fourth-quarter big shots yesterday, and that was after Jaylen Brown started out outstanding. So, yep. You know, I know there is, it's hard to take a lot of positives away from the Pacers, okay? But this team has yet to win big games on the road, and they've yet to close out games. They had a big lead yesterday. They almost blew it, but they came back to hold it. So I take a lot from last night's win just for the simple fact that they can do it. Like, we haven't seen it this year. And they didn't need Kyrie to make the big plays. It was Tatum down the stretch. It was Hayward with a nice little tip in late in the game. So, yes, I agree. Right now, Jason Tatum has elevated. He's playing better now than he did all season. I think he was just, you know, average during the regular season. Now we're starting to see a guy who wants the ball late and hitting big shots, but he missed two free throws late last night to truly put it away.
Yeah, one of the things I'm watching, so Brown's good last night, and he's hitting shots. We'll play some of the audio, too, from Sean Grady mentioning this very thing. Like, I don't know if you noticed this, like, he's hitting these jumpers from mid-range, and, like, his outside shot is nice, and, like, you'll see that when it's really starting to click. Like, he can hit shot after shot after shot. You get up at the free throw line, and it's brick after brick after brick. Is that, like, a mental thing? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to not like I played basketball at a very high level at any point. A little bit of high school, that was it. Yeah. Like, but that, to me, that just makes no sense. Is it just a mental thing? He gets to the stripe, and it's like, he locks up. It makes no sense. A little bit frustrating. It's just one of those things that stood out to me.
Well,
last night,
Jim, as a former Catholic Suburban League champion over Trinity in high school in Newton, I just think he plays so much hard defense that late in games he struggles. He gets tired. I think that's one of the things that, you know, he's been trying to work on. I believe his percentage has been better this year from the free throw line, but it seems both Tatum and even Tatum last year. Was it earlier this year? Maybe last year they had a chance to win a game. He missed free throws down the stretch. That seems to be those two guys' biggest issues for me. Yes, it's consistent play from Jaylen Brown altogether, but yeah, with Tatum, it's sometimes when he's not involved in the offense, he's not even involved on the court. But yeah, I think it's because right now he's playing really hard defense. And I think when he gets to the line, he's truly tired of missing. That's what I think.
And on Tatum, this was a guy that I thought mostly like a tick underachieved. I don't think it was like a massive underachievement for Jason Tatum this year, but what the expectations were going in, I really did believe he was going to play himself into like being a top 10 player in the league. Didn't do that. And at times was extremely frustrating. But one of the things that has been nice to see that I think you can take going into round two when the playoffs really start to me is that, if you forgot about last year, at this point, with what a tumultuous season it's been, Tatum was awesome throughout the playoffs last year. It's like he kicked it into a high gear, and he's done the same thing so far in these first three games. So that is really encouraging. Tatum, more than anything else, again, I think has been the one thing you can take away from these three games that I can't take all that seriously, that you can take going forward. Like, okay, he's got another gear he can kick it into in the playoffs because he did the same thing last year.
Another thing I'm noticing, too, is the fact that Jaylen Brown's in the starting lineup. I think when Marcus Smart does come back, he should come off the bench. They still have an issue there with scoring when Kyrie's not in the game. And Kyrie and Rozier playing together has been outstanding. But yeah. I think, I don't think they're missing Marcus Smart whatsoever, which I thought was something that would be of a concern in this first round. It has not been. They've actually shot the ball better without him on the court. But I think in the next round when they move on, I think they're going to need some sort of scoring piece. I'm not saying Smart is this great scorer, but if he's off the bench, you know, maybe against a Bledsoe or somebody like that, maybe him as a point guard or off the ball, maybe he could score a little bit more and maybe give Jaylen Brown more playing time with the starters.
What were your expectations even going into this? Like, considering what the year was that they ended up the four seed, like, I think we all collectively knew they were going to end up beating the Pacers. And again, they'll do it either in five games, probably tomorrow. But did you expect them to even make a run? Did you look at the path and say, okay, path of least resistance here, Milwaukee's dealing with some injuries, this looks good for them?
Yeah, I actually think talent in this league is what wins overall. They have the talent. I think they can beat Milwaukee, too. I do. Obviously, I think if they take care of business tomorrow, they'll have a few days to rest. Maybe they get Smart back into the mix. I thought it was a four or five game series. So they're probably going to do that unless something crazy happens here. And Milwaukee's been running away with their series as well. In the end, though, like, can they win big games on the road? That's what it comes down to. They did it last night. But at home, they needed Kyrie Irving to win those games. Like, Kyrie was outstanding, and I'm sure we can get into it and where he's going to be next year or whatever, but they won a game on the road yesterday with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
They didn't even need Kyrie Irving. That's huge. Even if Kyrie walks next year, like, you could actually build around that. I don't know if it will win them a championship, but at least it's more exciting, and maybe these guys are worth more value. I don't know. Jaylen Brown, I think his value's elevated a little bit, so... Yeah, I think they can beat Milwaukee. Will they? I don't know. And I think the two best players in the conference are clearly Kawhi Leonard and Giannis. But, like, Kyrie's definitely the third. And, I don't know, him as a point guard, is that going to put the Celtics over the top? I don't know. But I think they are talented enough to get to the finals. I just think they're going to lose to Toronto when it's all said and done.
As one of the co-hosts of the Over Under podcast, the gambling podcast, you can find on 98.5thesportshub.com. Have the numbers changed? I got to ask. Like, have their odds changed at all?
Yes, they went up. So they started out, I believe, to win the championship at 2,300. In the East, they were behind the 76ers. They've now jumped them. So right now, I think it's Milwaukee, Toronto, Celtics.
Okay.
And the line for the Golden State Warriors has changed a little bit. They're minus 175. But there's been some interesting games. Last night, the total was 205. They scored 120 points in the first half. It still went under. The other thing, game two, somehow the Celtics were 7.5-point favorites. They won by 8.
Huh.
Because and won at the end of the game, and they threw two balls.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this whole entire playoffs has been fishy. Even, like, the Rockets games have been fishy. If you're betting right now, like,
you know something's up.
Something is definitely going on.
Alex and Ware, you're first up here on the Sports Hub Celtics show. You want to join us, 617-779-0985. Got room for you. You want to talk about last night's win in this series thus far. But Alex, you're first up here on the Sports Hub Celtics show. Hello.
Hey, Big Jim. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, first time, long time. Love the show. I just wanted to mention something. It seems like Brad Stevens has a tendency to kind of sit on his timeouts and not know when to stop the bleeding. And also, looking into next series with the Bucks, do you think Budenholzer has a chance to outcoach Stevens? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, Alex, considering somewhat recent history, he's already done that with a much lesser team, the Atlanta Hawks. Oh, how quickly we forget a couple of years ago. Mike Budenholzer, then the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. Yeah, he did it then. That was a massive improvement for that team, but we'll get to them when we get to them. They still got to end up knocking off the Pacers, which they will do. Anything more than five games, then I might have to get the whiteboard and marker and put on the asterisk. But Brad Stevens with timeouts and being late with them. Well, this is one of the things that started to drive me nuts throughout the season, along with a long list of other things. But when it came to the coach, and when, you know, maybe he wasn't getting enough blame for the that they weren't living up to expectations at times, yeah, he looked lost. And, like, you would see teams go on, like, a 17-2 run. And I'd be I know I wasn't alone, screaming at my television, like, time out, Brad, Jesus. And it'd be way too late.
Yeah, I haven't noticed it much in the playoffs. The only questions I really have for Stevens is Morris has been bad. And he got better last night, but, like, he plays Daniel Theis.
Yeah.
What? Daniel Theis? Like, there's no one else they can go to on the bench besides Theis to replace Morris?
Well, Morris is a guy, like, in game two, like, he's, and this is one of the things that started to, like, bite him in the ass. As, you know, first 2 months of the season, he was essentially carrying the team, him and Kyrie. But then it got to a point where he was shooting teams back into games. He was doing it in game two. Yeah. He's been a problem. Other than that, though, I think the rotations have been pretty decent overall, what Brad has done so far. But, hey, I know, I'm the negative a-hole here, like, I'm sorry, I can't take too much out of this series. This is an exhibition. It's a good tune-up, and it's nice. We've taken some good things so far. See, it's been mostly positive this first segment. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, great, great. Well, Tatum more than Brown. Brown, great last night. But overall, it's nice to see the kids really looking like what we expected out of them throughout the regular season so far in these first three games against the Pacers. But it's the Pacers. The Pacers. All right. You want to talk about last night's win? At least it's a playoff win, unlike the Bruins. 617-779-0985 if you want to join the show. And you can do just that right after we talk to Chris Forsberg. He will join us from Indianapolis, who's out there, as the Celtics should go for the sweep tomorrow. He'll join us next. He of NBC Sports Boston here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Take us with you on your phone with the TuneIn app.
That's too easy right there.
It's the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Kyrie behind the back, bounce pass. Al Horford swings to Jaylen Brown, turns the corner, gets to the free throw line. Tough contested shot is good. I don't understand. Jaylen Brown can't miss from the free throw line unless he's shooting the free throw. 88-84. Jaylen Brown is 8-for-8.
Obviously really shot the ball well. You know, didn't force anything that wasn't there. I mean, the only shot he missed was that end of the shot clock. Great challenge by Miles Turner in front of our bench. And then obviously rebounded, and he's got to guard Bogdanovich, which is a heck of a task. So, thought he played a good game.
Brad Stevens on Jaylen Brown. What a hell of a night last night. The Celtics went over the Pacers to go up 3-0 in their first round series. It's Sports Hub Celtics Show. It's Jim Murray and Joe Murray today. Chris Gasper is off. And want to get more insight on last night's game, the series thus far, from Celtics insider of NBC Sports Boston, some of the best hair in the business as well. Chris Forsberg joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good morning, Chris.
What up? What's going down?
How's things in Indianapolis?
Rainy and miserable. Did you like the city when you came here?
You know, I actually think it's somewhat underrated, you know, for those Midwest dud towns you expect nothing from. Like, I actually think it's okay.
Did you like the shrimp cocktails and everything like
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah. What is that? St. Elmo's got to get over there and
yes,
get those
exactly.
Shrimp cocktails.
And there's another one, Harry and Max, something like that, that does the same thing, and everyone raves about it.
It's all right. It's a two-night town. That's all you'll really need, and hopefully that's all you'll have to see is they'll complete the sweep tomorrow, which they should, right, like for how this has looked so far?
Yeah, like I thought that if Indiana could have stole last night, maybe things got a little bit interesting, and it was just surprising the way the Celtics came out and really dominated that first quarter and put up 41 points. And like credit to the Celtics because it's human nature to come out in game threes when you're up 2-0 and just sort of, you know, think you can coast a little bit and be feeling content about yourself, and especially when you're in a hostile environment. I just thought it was refreshing because last year the Celtics would go up 2-0 in all these series, and then, you know, they got throttled in Cleveland, they got throttled in Milwaukee. They probably shouldn't have won in Milwaukee, but, you know, they dropped confetti early and they figure out a way to win that game. So credit to this team. It's different than last year. Like they understand there's a little bit of an urgency and maybe that killer instinct that they lacked during the season is actually there a little bit right now. And yet, like, I still can't get too worked up about this series because the talent disparity is so obvious. It still remains to be seen what this team is, but certainly they should have a lot of confidence if they can go out there Sunday, finish this thing off, and then sort of get their rest for the Bucks.
Hey, Chris, I just wanted to ask you about Terry Rozier. We know Tatum's played well, and Brown now has stepped up without Marcus Smart. But can you just talk a little about Rozier's game? 9 points last night, was a plus 19 in the last game as well. But just talk about, you know, how much he's played better, and is it because Marcus Smart's not in the lineup, and will he see time when Smart comes back?
Yeah, I think part of it is that Smart's absence here has opened up avenues for a lot of guys, whether that's Jaylen Brown elevating to the starting role and sort of embracing being a little bit of everything and focusing on defense. But I do think Rozier has been good. And again, like we said this throughout the season, that these guys just don't know their roles, that they're struggling to embrace them. And I think a lot of that goes out the window in the playoffs because you're just so focused on winning. You don't sit there and really kind of overanalyze how many shots you're getting or what your role in the offense is. It's just about going out there and winning games. And so Terry, more than maybe any other player, has gotten an opportunity because of Smart's absence, has put a focus again on defense, on picking up full court, on antagonizing Corey Joseph and Collison and trying to make things difficult for them. And so that's a nice luxury. Again, I go back to it, like, The Celtics, while their depth never helped them during the regular season, it sure feels like the ability to be able to elevate Jaylen Brown and to lean on Rozier has been key in this series. And so it's paying off for them now. I don't know what his role will be if Smart gets back, and I still think that's looking more like an Eastern Conference Finals thing based on how sore he remains. But certainly there is going to be games moving forward where Terry Rozier, I don't know if he'll win you a game. I don't know if I'm saying he's going to hit the winning shot or whatever, but he's going to provide some sort of impact that helps you win the game. And I thought that happened in game two. So good on these guys for being ready.
Jaylen Brown, arguably the best player on the floor last night in the win. And again, talking to Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston, you write this morning on NBCSports.com about the Jaylen Brown redemption tour continues on. Is this just more about, we've seen his improved play because he's accepted what his role is?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I think a lot of their struggles early in the year were unfairly pinned on both Jaylen and Gordon Hayward. Like, that first unit was supposed to be so good, and it fizzled, and those were the two guys that went to the bench, and so they were sort of pointed out, like, hey, they're the reason this didn't work. And I think it was more complicated than that. And Jaylen certainly struggled to adapt. Like, again, here's a guy who was the leading scorer in the playoffs last year. You come in this year and they're like, well, you know, you might get six shots a game. You got to put a premium on defense. And like any young guy, he's sitting there thinking, well, you know, no, like I was a star last year. I want a bigger role. And I do think it just took some time for him to embrace it and recognize like how he could be most impactful for this team. And even over the last like 3 months of the regular season, I thought he was probably their second most consistent player, maybe with Al. You know, even if Kyrie was more up and down late in the year than he was at the start. And so I thought that Jaylen made obvious sense to go into that starting lineup when Smart goes down. But the fact that he's giving you a little bit something different in every game, like game one, he's out there chasing Bogdanovich and just putting an emphasis on defense. Game two, the pass he made, the feed Tatum on the winner was, you know, just a really nice play and showed his maturation instead of trying to force up a layup in traffic. And then last night, you know, they obviously needed some scoring. And because Gordon Hayward didn't have it going, Kyrie wasn't quite himself early. If Jaylen can just kind of identify what the game needs and give a little something, then his value is off the charts in this series. And so I just think it's good for him because, again, like fair or not, he was maligned for a lot of this team's woes at the start of the year. He deserves an awful lot of the credit for the way they're playing now.
So help me figure something out, though. So over a night last night where he's like, you know, nailing mid-range shot after mid-range shot, why does he suck at the line?
I actually thought they were going to go hack a Jaylen at some point because that was the only way to maybe get Pacers back in that game. Yeah, I don't know. You know, he's never been a good free throw shooter, and he's had stretches where he's been better, but certainly one of the areas of his game that he has to tighten up. It is fascinating to watch him shoot so well from the perimeter and then think, you know, why from 15 feet can't you consistently do it? But, you know what? Like, the grander scheme of things, it's not a huge concern to me. Okay, guys struggle with different things, and so Jaylen's just not a good free throw shooter. But, like, there's two things that concern me moving forward. One, like, we don't know how good the Pacers are. So, like, is this a factor of are the Celtics going to be able to do this against good at competition? And can you have these lulls? Can you miss free throws and survive it? So, the team as a whole needs to tighten up if they're going to have any chance moving forward. But certainly those little areas are things they need to be better at.
Hey, Chris, just looking at Marcus Morris, I don't know, down the stretch, at the regular season, didn't really play well, was kind of cold the first two games. Last night he bounced back a little bit, but is there a leash on him? Like, can he shoot the team out? And is Daniel Tice the backup option? Because I'm looking around, like, is there someone else that can actually make those type of shots? Tice only played 3 minutes last night, thankfully, but is there a leash on Marcus Morris if he shoots him out of the game?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a leash. Like, this is just part of the Marcus Morris experience, is that he's going to take a lot of shots. You're going to scream at your television and wonder why. It's like, it's transferred. We used to get upset when Marcus Smart took those shots, and now it seems like it's more like Marcus Morris. You know, he was really good at the start of the year, and like, and he's got so much defensive versatility. The guy you want to be able to play in these situations, it's just going to be feast or famine. I think that's on Brad. So, okay, Marcus Morris has got it. Like, in game one, start of game one, you don't win if Marcus Morris isn't sort of keeping you afloat. But really, from the second half of game one and all of game two, you know, he was off. And so those are the times you maybe got to balance the rotation a little bit more, lean heavier on Tatum and Brown at those, at that four spot, and figure out ways to get through there. But yeah, like, whether it's him, whether it's Rozier, you got to be able to find the hot hand, find the guy that's giving you that energy. Same deal, like, Marcus Morris is going to help you at some point, but he might also shoot you out of a game if you don't pull that leash in a little bit.
Chris, so now I know you're with me in that, you know, you have to kind of take this with a grain of salt because of what the Indiana Pacers are, but the confidence does look real, and especially with the way that Brown and Tatum, and especially how Tatum has played in this series. They're talking a big game, but do you think that they are they're starting to believe it, that they actually can make a deep run here?
Yeah, like, I think I've always believed it, and I think that this little stretch gives them even more confidence. But I do worry a little bit about, you know, again, being tricked a little bit about, like, oh, we're really good. And like, I like the resolve. I like that they've won in tough situations, like game threes that they haven't in the past. There's a lot of encouraging signs. I just think, you know, all of a sudden you swap out these terrible Pacers for Giannis and the Bucks, like, you can't survive having these little lulls. You can't survive making little mistakes. Like, you're not going to hold Milwaukee to 8 point and 18 point quarters very regularly. So I do think they need to go to another level. And, you know, all that being said, you know, like, Kyrie is just a difference maker to me. And he's like, this is why you need a guy like Kyrie on your team. And late in games, I thought the most key sequence in game three was when he swiped the ball from Bogdanovich, goes back down and makes a ridiculous fadeaway over Sabonis. Like, you need guys who can just do that individually, just change plays on both ends of the court and sort of will you to victory at times. So the fact that he's healthy gives them a chance. And if Al plays to the level he's been playing at, if Tatum and Brown and all these guys step up, they've got the right parts to make a run. It's just a matter of, will it all click at the same time against good opponents, and can they avoid getting down on themselves when they eventually do hit sort of that first loss or that adversity? And so I'm tentatively optimistic about what this team can do, but I just need to see it. And watching the Bucks, like, slaughter the Pistons, it's just like, I'm interested to see how that series is going to play out.
Yeah, that to me is when the real playoffs start. This is just a bit of an exhibition. So hopefully they'll sweep tomorrow, so you won't have to go back to Indy. And while I think about it, you know what you should do if you have time? Go to have you been to the NCAA Hall of Champions?
Sounds miserable.
No, it's actually not bad. You can I'm telling you, like, if you like touristy crap like I do, I think it costs $10 to go in. You can take some goofy photos. They, you know, they have like the wedge. I think it might be like the Four Horsemen of Notre Dame. You can take a photo behind them, and that's fun. Post that on Instagram or send it back to your lady and the kids. And they have a half basketball court. You can play baseball inside. There's all kinds of free crap you can do there. It's not bad. I tell you, I went last summer. It's not bad.
All right. Well, if I can tear myself away from a Steak and Shake, I'll head over.
All right. Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston. Thank you for taking the time, my friend.
All right. Later, guys.
And Chris joins us here in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Want to hear from you on last night's win, the Celtics series against the Pacers thus far, 617-779-0985. And despite another decent performance by Kyrie Irving on the floor, I want to get to this because he just can't help himself. He can't help himself from sounding like an ass off the floor. We'll get to Kyrie Irving's postgame, one specific thing that he said, next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Terry Rozier, he's going to pull up and shoot a three. Got it!
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Kyrie, right-hand dribble, goes past the bonus, hangs in the air, tough follow away from the baseline, is good.
He knew that play. I saw one-on-one. Saw a big line out there. You can't guard me.
I told these guys as soon as we got in the locker room, the hardest game in the series is the closeout game, especially on the road. You know, obviously, we know what's at stake. We know the amount of pressure that they're putting on themselves, and we know the amount of pressure we're going to put on ourselves to play great. And that's just the reality of it. And you just got to be ready for the runs that they'll throw at us, the intensity, make sure they're picking up the basketball, being very aggressive. And we just got to match it. We just got to be able to answer those calls, and we'll be okay.
Sports Up Celtic Show, 98.5 of Sports Up. It's Jim Murray and Joe Murray today. Chris Gasper is down in Tampa covering the Sox series. He just can't help himself. He really can't. So Celtics win last night. Take game 3, 104-96. Kyrie Irving, good, not great. It was more about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who I think has been the best player in the series thus far. But did you hear that? I told these guys, the hardest game is the closeout game. We know. We closed out games last year. Without you, he just can't help himself. Wildly talented. Hope he doesn't go. Want him to stay. Love him as a basketball player. Off the court, Joe, he just can't stop himself. And I think a lot of times it's inadvertent. This is who he is. He's just an insufferable know-it-all. I told those guys, the hardest game's the closeout. Yeah, no, I know. We did it in Milwaukee and... We almost did it in Game 7 against Cleveland. We did it in... Who was the second round last year? Why am I drawing a blank?
Washington?
Yeah, we did. No.
That was Kelly Olynyk year.
Yeah, that was the... Who the hell was in the second round last year? Oh, God. Wow. Shame on me. Either way, they did it without you last year. We know... Oh,
was it the Wizards?
Was it again the Wizards? God, shame on us.
Boo. I have to look it up.
Sports Hub Celtic Show, and I forget who the hell was in the second round last year. Oh, boy, that's awful. Either way, they know. They know you don't have to keep dadding us. It's been the dad and the kids all season. Oh, right. Oh, my God. Shame on us. It was 5 games against the Sixers. That series was awesome.
Yeah. Jeez.
Oh, God. Boo.
That one with the graffiti.
Boo, Murray's boo. Oh, wow.
Confetti coming from the sky.
That is a total brain fart.
Have we missed that
total
one?
Total brain fart. I know. All of you. Boo. Shame on you. You host this show. Yeah. Either way, they know. They closed out these games without you. I just found that so insufferable. And it reminded me, too. You're a South Park fan. I still am. I think the show actually gets funnier and more brilliant with each passing year now. You know who Kyrie Irving is? They've written recently that Cartman, the best character in the history of this series, now has a girlfriend. It's Heidi. It's Heidi Irving. Now, so when he is having to hear his girlfriend over and over again, Cartman just goes like, ugh, like, I know. In fact, here's an example.
Relationships are 50-50, Eric. We both have to make it work. We have to communicate to make sure that we respect each other's feelings. That's the only...
Heidi, silence.
What did you say? About. You want to be heard, but you don't want to listen.
You're right. I'm wrong. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize if you don't mean it.
Okay, kid. I'm so happy we're back on track. See you in school tomorrow. Love you, honey.
I love you, too.
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and like the rest of the players, especially those young guys who have shined so far in this series, are like Cartman. They must be like, all right, Kyrie, silence. Like talking to it like it's an Alexa. Kyrie, silence. Stop. No, guys, I got to let you know, like, the next game's the toughest one. The close-up game's Kyrie silence. We get, we get it. All right, enough. I'm sorry. He's not going to change. He's not going to change. I hope he stays. He's the guy. You got to build around Kyrie, but boy, it's just he is insufferable off the floor.
I love the reference, though. It is great. I will say this, though. I didn't pick up on it. Like, I told these guys, I didn't pick up on it until it's really starting. You're starting to now relate to it with a cartoon. So I get it now. But I will say this, though. Like, if they are going to go anywhere, it is with Kyrie. And I know, like, he had a big game. They were down 13 points. Like, he came back. And you guys talked about it this week on Felger Maz. Like, we've seen this before with IT. Like, we have. So I think that's actually true.
Even Terry Rozier last year.
It's true and transparent. Like, we've seen this before, so don't get too excited. But if they can win games on the road and make, you know, beat Milwaukee, beat Toronto, if Kyrie can do those things, I'll start to be a believer. But I do agree with you to a point, like, in the locker room, are they looking at Kyrie like, oh, this is the guy that won championships with LeBron? Like, I don't know if they feel that way.
No, and I think this is what the main issue was between him and the young guys, specifically Brown, maybe more than anybody else. And I think, you know, that was on Brown and Tatum for a bit as well, because I think that they read a little bit too much about their press clippings. Remember, Jaylen Brown had that now infamous interview going into the season where he was talking about, well, I think we'll have 5 championships in the next 6 years. It's like, okay, calm down. I know you're trying to impress the busty reporter here who's very attractive. Like, we can understand it. Well, you know, I'll start getting a little too nuts. You're trying to pump yourself up a bit. Maybe you're trying to get a number. that was still out of control. So those guys got to maybe check themselves a bit. But if I'm also in their shoes, I don't want to feel like, don't talk to me like a dad. Like, oh, I got to teach these kids. Like, you guys don't know. Like, again, we almost, they didn't, but almost got to the finals without you last year. So on the one hand, they brought their press, they read into their press clippings too much and needed to check themselves. But on the other, I understand them being pissed and not wanting to be having to listen to Heidi Irving time and time again. Like, you guys, you got to listen to me, okay? Do you understand? Ugh, all right, okay. Kyrie, silence. Kyrie, silence. Why are you trying to stop me like an Alexa? Kyrie, silence. We get it. We get it. We've won closeout games before. Shame on us for forgetting that Philadelphia series, too. Boo. Boo, Murray's boo.
Jim, I will say this. I looked up to see, you know, what the odds are, if Kyrie's going to stay or if Kevin Durant's going to stay or any of that. There's no latest odds, but the past odds, just within the last, like, 3 months or so, is that Kyrie will stay in Boston.
Oh, so really?
That the favorite is Boston.
Okay.
But I think Kevin Durant, though, he is out.
Oh, yeah,
he is completely out.
If you want to read into body language and just how he's talked in the last really month or two, especially since that series has started, he just can't wait for that whole exercise to be over. Ring, another ring or not, he wants to get the hell away from Draymond Green and get out of Oakland. We'll continue to take your calls. You want to talk about last night's Celtics win, this series so far, 617-779-0985. Kyrie, silence. Kyrie, silence. But no, guys, you got to understand, a closeout game can be very tough. I've done it with it. Kyrie, silence. Silence. Shh, shh. We get it. Long commercial-free segment coming up next.
No. Ready, silence.
This is the Sports Hub Celtic Show on the home of the Seas. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nate, the math is obviously against teams that are down 0-3. What do you kind of do to rally the guys going into Sunday's game?
Well, you know, I've been asked, a lot this season. Is it a big game tomorrow? Sunday is a big game. You know, it's do or die for us. You know, it's just as simple as that. That's what we consider a big game.
I saw this last night on the post game watching ESPN. I was like, oh, I got to dig this up and play this on the Sports Hub Celtics show. Jim Murray and Joe Murray, Chris Gasparov today, 98.5 of Sports Hub. That's the electric Nate McMillan, the statue that is the head coach of the Pacers. I've been asked before if there's big games. Tomorrow, big game, yeah. We'll play on Sunday. It's the equivalent of being coached by a roll of paper towels. He stinks. That's why I can't take this series all that seriously. I find him a bit of a joke. He's one of the, just the big coaches in the league. Was great when he was a player. I'm old enough to remember. Sonics, right? Yeah. But now as a coach, big. So,
well, you know,
there's been big games before. No, you're hanging on by a thread here. Kind of lucky to be here. It's, you know, good that you played good team basketball, a lot of grit. Kind of remind me of the Celtics before they ended up getting Kyrie. You know, that night in, night out, giving you max effort. But now that you're getting squashed in the playoffs, what do you think? This last game here, game four tomorrow, big game? So it's why I've said now, been consistent. It's an exhibition series for me. There's a lot you can take out of it that's good just to reset. Jason Tatum so far has been the best player in this series. Jaylen Brown last night, excellent. Even though Kyrie continues to be insufferable off the floor, he's been good this series. So there's a lot you can take out of this. I can understand they got some momentum right now. This is what you want. At least they're not, tied. Or this has been more of a competitive series. Yeah, the games have been a little too close. And hey, even if Sean Grandy, who gives you the call here on 98.5 of Sports Hub, him saying that they stole games one and two. I don't know. For me, I never sweat at all, even when they're down double digits and they're getting their ass kicked in the third quarter of game two. I just can't take too much of it. The Pacers aren't that good. They're not a good measuring stick. To me, the playoffs don't start until they play Milwaukee, Joe.
So I think the Pacers are better than the Pistons. So like,
they're the worst. Yeah.
Like if we're in Milwaukee right now,
take that seriously.
We could be having this conversation. Yep. We've seen some positive things. Chris Forsberg said something great when we talked to him. He mentioned if they miss free throws down the stretch, and you know if they miss them in big situations, and if they give up big leads on the road, like that's when you have to worry about the team. They can do it against the Pacers. I don't think they can do it against Milwaukee, and they certainly can't do it against Toronto. So, like, that's one of the biggest takeaways from the series. With McMillan, though, one thing that he tried to do is they tried to defensively try to take Kyrie out, like go at Kyrie. Like, if you notice, every time Sabonis gets the ball, like he's actually a nice player. Every time he gets the ball, though, he goes to the rim and then throws it out to the three-point line. It's like they're trying to attack Kyrie. And, like, because Kyrie's not great defensively, it's not working. And after the game, he's like, yeah, you know, and it's just, what we game planned against Kyrie just hasn't worked. And even Kyrie called him out. He goes, we know that every time they're going to try to drive against me and then they kick it out. Well, every time they kick it out, they can't hit a damn three. Right. Like, they shot terribly. I'm like, how many times are they going to put up 16 or 18 points in a quarter? So I agree. Like, McMillan's done a great job with what he has. But trying to go at Kyrie, it's not working. So, yeah, in a must-win game four tomorrow, like, he's going to screw it all up tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, no.
So, actually, you know what? I think I might even bet the Celtics now because of this.
You should. That the Pacers were actually favored from anywhere from 2.5 to 3 going into last night's game blew my mind. There's some nice enough players there. Good, you know, Turner's good. Bogdanovich is okay. You certainly can't run your offense through him. As you mentioned, Sabonis' kid, just showing my age. Like, okay. They just don't have enough talent there, and they really don't have an offensive identity. And McMillan, yeah, I don't expect him to switch it up. And more attacking Kyrie and another loss, and hopefully they'll do us all a favor and sweep tomorrow. To you we go, though. Your thoughts on the Celtics in this series and last night's win over Indiana. 617-779-0985. Paul in Dorchester. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Murray. I think I agree with you all week that this has been a fake series. But one of the things that I take away from this series is just the lack of points in the paint and free throw attempts. Like you just said, Jason Tatum's been our best player, but he's only made in three games, he's only made two free throws. And when you're playing the Bucks, Giannis averages probably more free throws than we make a game. So I think the lack of easy points and getting to the paint, I think, will affect us heavily in the next series. So what do you guys think?
And Paul, and thanks for the call. I mean, these have been things that have kind of bit them in the ass throughout the regular season. Same with, you know, looking at Marcus Morris in this series, too. Continues to be a black hole of offense at times where it's like, pass it, nope, clang. Clang. So let's, you know, there's things they're going to have to clean up by the time that they take on the Milwaukee Bucks. But then again, that's kind of who they've been all season. Steve in Cambridge on Jaylen Brown. Hello, Steve.
Hey, as long as Jaylen Brown is playing with Kyrie Irving, he's more valuable coming off the bench. He got 8 shots last night if you toss out that catch and heave to beat the shot clock. Kyrie's going to get a ton of shots. We want Jason Tatum to shoot more. If Horford and Kyrie are doing their two-man game pick and roll, that makes Brown the fourth option. Let him come back off the bench. Smart doesn't have to shoot, and he covers up for Kyrie on defense.
I don't know how much we can actually rely on Marcus Smart being back anytime soon. I know they showed him yesterday before the game taking shots. But when he's saying this week, and I do believe it because, you know, well, at other times I've looked at Marcus Smart and saying, you're playing up that injury. When he's saying he can't sneeze because of this, you know, an adductor?
Oblique
issue. Like, can't breathe, can't cough, can't laugh. Like, I think that that's real. He couldn't even walk for a few days. Like, I don't know. I don't expect him back for that second round series at all. So I don't think you have to worry about him chucking up shots and taking away shots from Jaylen Brown.
Forsberg said Eastern Conference Finals. So I just going with that. But to the caller's point, yes, it makes sense. Smart start, Jaylen scoring off the bench. I just like Jaylen getting more minutes. He's more productive.
Yeah. There are things that you can take out of this series that are positive. Again, Brown, Tatum, and hopefully some rest as they can complete the sweep tomorrow. And Luke, and I know I've been downplaying this thing, Luke in Vermont, but there are positives. See, I'm saying there's things you can take from this series that have been positives.
Some of it is true, Jim. I hear you. About Indiana, you could see how if you give them Victor Oladipo back, they could be special because they have a ton of really good role players. But as we know, that's not nearly enough. And you see it. You get to the end of the games and they can't score and we can. But I see what you're saying, but why I think this series has been good for Boston, because the regular season was such a crap show that without Marcus Smart being there, and I know they need him to make a deep run probably, but it has allowed Brad to put his 5 best players on the floor together for a significant time, the original starting 5. And look how much better Tatum and Brown have been in the playoffs. And there's just one too many guys. I don't want Marcus Smart to be the odd man out, but I do want him to be the sixth man. But he played so hard, so good on defense, he forced Brad to play him when everybody else was kind of dogging it through the regular season or Hayward wasn't healthy. I do think this first round has allowed us to be the team that we're going to need to be. To get to our ceiling, we're going to need those five guys to be at their best. And Hayward is still not quite there. If we're going to beat Milwaukee, Tatum and Brown are going to have to be very good. Horford and Hayward are going to have to be even better. And obviously you need Kyrie. But I really think, in a weird way, the Smart injury could be a blessing in disguise, because it's allowed our best players to become the most significant players and get the most minutes, if that makes sense.
It does. And look, I understand where you're coming from. Yeah. From a defensive standpoint and the intangibles, like, you know, Smart's best ability is to frustrate and annoy and get in the head of, you know, some of the best players throughout the league. But I don't know, you do want more minutes for some of these guys. So I can understand where you're coming from on that standpoint. Him talking about Hayward, there's been a bit of a regression there. Did you see that tumble he took last night? Holy crap, he looks like me getting out of bed now at 42, whatever the hell I am. It's real creaky and a lot of pains in places I never had before. That didn't look great. So, yeah, Hayward, while, again, he's been as inconsistent, and I know a lot of it has to do with the injury, and maybe it's the mental after effect too, but he's got to be better if they're going to make a deep run.
Absolutely. I don't think he's been terrible, though. I just don't.
Yeah.
I'm like giving
just
him,
meh,
I'm giving
right?
him a pass.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on from the Celtics, shall we, because we have more pressing matters with the Bruins, who are now truly behind the eight ball, on the brink, as they lose at home last night. What was really essentially like a no-show. It's, at least that's what it felt like to me. They lose to the Maple Leafs last night at home. Game 6 tomorrow. Let's get further insight on the Bruins' loss with our own Ty Anderson, who's going to join us for the final hour of the show. That is coming up right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Joe Murray. It's 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.